An American jury this week ordered two retired Salvadoran generals to pay nearly $55 million to three Salvadoran citizens who were tortured in El Salvador during that country's civil war. The case is one of several that are moving through U.S. courts, even though they involve instances of torture that happened in other countries and to people who were not American residents at the time. We asked Harold Hongju Ko, former Assistant Secretary of State for Human Rights, to explain how U.S. courts have become involved.
Well, there are two federal laws at stake. One is over 200 years old. It's part of the first statutory act passed in 1789, and it permits aliens to sue in U.S. courts for international law violations, and that's the basis for the torture action here. In 1991, under the first Bush administration, Congress passed a second law, which was called the Torture Victim Protection Act, and its goal was specifically to authorize people who have been tortured to sue those who torture them wherever they might find them. So it was under these two laws, which were both authorized by Congress, that these plaintiffs proceeded.
Can you tell me anything about specific torture cases that we might be seeing come through the U.S. courts in the near future?
Well, there are a number of suits going on now. There's a lawsuit against Li Peng, who's a very high Chinese official. It was filed last year. There's a suit against Robert Mugabe, the president of Zimbabwe, who's recently stolen the election there, and his party, ZANU-PF, claiming that people were tortured in that circumstance. There have been a number of interesting cases recently filed against corporate entities who are charged with having been complicit in the torture of individuals. So I don't know how many cases are pending right now, but probably more than 10.
In the case of the Salvadoran generals and their victims, everybody was in the United States. But in the case of Radovan Karadzic or Robert Mugabe, these are people that aren't in the United States and aren't likely to be coming here anytime soon. So is it simply symbolic for the U.S. courts to get involved?
Well, two reasons. First, U.S. courts are taking an important lead role in stamping out this international crime. This kind of lawsuit began in suits against pirates, who by their very nature are mobile and hard to pin down. And so the country where they happen to stop is the place which ought to work justice against them. I think people would understand that in the context of a terrorist, and I think they'd understand that in the context of a government official who's committing acts of torture. The other reason is that they might choose to bring their property into the United States. They might use our stock markets. They might use our financial markets. And the question is, why should someone who has tortured residents of the United States be allowed to profit by our economic infrastructure?
You know, there's been some talk in the United States since September 11th of actually loosening our prohibition on torture. And just this week, the United States government tried, albeit unsuccessfully, to block the United Nations from voting on reinforcing language to the UN Convention on Torture. Is there, you know, are we sending mixed signals here? No, you can't come if you're a torturer, but yes, we should perhaps think of torture as a possible thing that could be used in some rare occasion?
Let me say first, I don't hear many government officials talking about torturing people. I hear a few law professors mention this, but I think most American people think that torture is anti-American. The fact of the matter is torture generally does not yield confessions. This is just a fact. In countries where people are tortured, they don't yield a higher rate of convictions or confessions. The confessions that are achieved are not reliable because the people are being tortured, so they don't know if they're telling the truth or not. Now, the action with regards to the treaty that you mentioned was another very misguided thing. Apparently, the United States government did not want this optional protocol to be adopted because it might allow people to visit the detainees that we're holding on Guantanamo. I don't know anybody who says that those detainees are being tortured. In fact, I think they're being given humanitarian treatment. And we ought to want the world to see that if we are going to hold prisoners, we can hold them in a humanitarian fashion.
Former Assistant Secretary of State for Human Rights and Yale Law Professor Harold Hongju Ko speaking to us by phone from Oxford, England. Thanks very much, Professor Ko.
Thanks, Joe. Pleasure to be here.